am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that is Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
He said you were racist.
He said you were
predictable.
He said
you
were racist.
He said he worked.
You are very racist.
He said he worked.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he worked.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist, you're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs, fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You are tuned in live this Tuesday, April 20th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is, we're in it. We are in it. We are realizing we're seeing the fruits, we're living through the efforts of years and years and years and years and years of subversive activity, very devilish intentions. And we are in it. Yesterday we replayed Friday's broadcast, Friday, April 16th broadcast, and the end of the broadcast was particularly, I don't know, thought-provoking. And I want to come back to some of this stuff. I have some thoughts that are not in keeping with contemporary, well, anything, I think. I feel like I part company with many, most, on some of these issues. And I'll get into specifics. I've talked recently about selfishness, forgiveness. I mentioned the Les Mis illustration of, you know, how different, you know, what a contrast. I don't know, just as a picture. The behavior of a Christian should be, it's real interesting, you know, how far away that picture is when we really, I think, get a glimpse of it. But we have this idea that we have stuff. It's so interesting, you know, the middle class concept, it gets us believing that, you know, we have anything. And if you subscribe to what the Bible says, as I do, you realize that we don't have anything, really. You know, just like, I mean, the Bible even says we show up with nothing, we leave with nothing, and that's You know, that's kind of a, that's our first clue. That's our first indication that we're not really as fantastic as we are beguiled into believing or allow ourselves to believe from time to time. So, you know, it might be more than just today. I'm not going to make any promises, but I'm going to unpack some of this stuff and really return to the discussion late in hour two of Friday's broadcast. If you're interested, go back and revisit some of that stuff, and we'll just play some stuff. Before we do that, though, a couple of things in this first segment. You know, speaking of living through devilish things, there are these groups. I can't believe that some of these groups are even on social media. How are they allowed to stay up? Groups for, you know, like Facebook groups for COVID-19 vaccine victims and families, and some of the posts that these groups have, it's just shocking. You know, no politics, no nothing. Just tell us your stories. Hundreds of deaths, thousands of adverse reactions. You know, things like this. Grandpa received first dose about a week later, developed pneumonia and AFib, hospitalized, sent home, called 911. Again, for inability to urinate, lungs filled with fluid. He was put on hospice and dead 4 days later. Here's another one. Went to visit a good friend today. She said her sister, age 55, had the Pfizer, and exactly 2 weeks after, she started having trouble breathing when she laid down in bed at night. She started having pains in her legs, too. Went to hospital for a scan, and they found blood clots in her lungs. She has been sent home with medication to take to disperse the blood clots. She has never had blood clots previously, doesn't regret having the vaccine, as she thinks it's just coincidence. And there are many that are just horrifying. I mean, it just it turns your stomach to read these stories. Let's see, this one. Here to vent. And these people, you know, who knows if these are real posts? One can only assume. And it's curious that they're allowed to stay on social media, but I can't imagine all of them are bogus. This one, okay, here to vent, all the side effects pages have been pulled, and I'm a bit of a lone wolf in my family. So yesterday, my uncle died within a couple of weeks of getting jabbed up. Hospital guarantees it weren't the jab, and his wife and kids are NHS workers who are clinging to that because they can't handle the alternative. Exactly. Land of the free, home of the brave, but like Jack Otto said, it was only the land of the free as long as it was the home of the brave. Everybody knows my views, this person writes. Over the past year, I slowly turned into the family leper, exclamation mark. Some of us resemble that remark. I only found out he passed because the one other family member who sees through the BS but is not as vocal about it rang me. But apart from that, not a word from any of them. More on that in a second. But I don't even know if I'll get invited to the funeral, although that might be best, as I'd spend the entire time biting my tongue bloody. I have only just realized in the last couple of days since my uncle died quite how much they have turned us into social pariahs. Again, more on that in a minute. They have polarized people. Even in our own families, exactly. I have all these emotions, grief, sadness, anger, hurt, even guilt, and I can't express them to anyone. Nobody wants to listen. This seems you know, I dare say this person speaks for many. Continuing, I almost wish I didn't know what I know, because ignorance sure looks bliss right now. That's exactly as it's typed. And if I had the option to go back and take the blue pill, I'm not sure I wouldn't take it. Exactly. But, what's his name? Joe Pantoliano's character in Matrix. Anyway, Cypher. Why did I take the red pill? So, this is exactly, I think, where, I don't know, the rubber meets the road. It's astonishing how polarizing this whole situation is. And I don't know, it's beyond belief that we have been so conditioned, we have been so beaten down by this dialectical messaging for generations now, that people would believe strangers, complete strangers, over their own family members, people that they grew up with. And so this is what I mean by, we're living through it. You know, for years now, I've been encouraging folks, well, first, you know, Machiavelli, I guess, as a primer, but then just kind of primarily Hayek's Road to Serfdom. This is how it happens. Jordan Peterson told us this is how a totalitarian state is actually formed. How a totalitarian state is actually formed. How does it happen? This is how it happens. We are encouraged to believe we're all fantastic and otherized. In other words, encouraged to believe that everyone else is an idiot or a traitor or something. And you know what? Let's just start with that. We'll start today with that. So let me get that dropped over real quick. Jordan Peterson. How a totalitarian state is actually formed. How does it happen? This is how it happens. No one trusts anyone, even family members, people you grew up with. It's insane. You trust a talking head who's paid to lie to you. This group that I'm looking at includes posts about folks from the BBC that are paid to discredit people, like the people posting their stories in this group. You're going to believe those people over the people you grew up with? Insane. Jordan Peterson, how a totalitarian state is actually formed. Go ahead, please.
You know, you saw the same thing with Solzhenitsyn's description of the gulags, because they were run in large part by the inmates. But I think that that's a really good metaphor for totalitarian states in general, you know, because we like to think that a totalitarian state is made up of innocent, oppressed individuals who are under the thumb of an evil tyrant, and that all of the catastrophes are cascading from the top down. But I don't think that that's true. I think that it's more like a holographic structure where the tyranny exists at every single level. So it exists psychologically, and it exists within the family, and it exists within the mid-level organizations. And so, well, you know, in Eastern Germany, for example, one out of every three people was a government informer. So what that meant is, if you had a family of six people, that two of them you couldn't trust. And you can't just say that that's a consequence of the top-down structure. A tyranny is something that exists everywhere simultaneously once it gets a grip. And it's easy for people to say things like, well, I was just following orders. And, you know, I'm not trying to put myself in a position where I'm claiming that if I was in that position, I wouldn't have followed orders in the same way. I mean, God only knows till you get there, right? That's for sure. But what that did to me was focus my attention more and more on the necessity of individual responsibility. I thought if it was individuals in the final analysis who were responsible for the great evils of the 20th century, which I think is a reasonable way of conceptualizing it, then it might be individuals who could be responsible for whatever good there might be in mankind that could help us avoid those situations in the future. And I thought of that as a alternative in some sense to nihilistic disbelief and ideological possession, you know, because if your group identity is too tight, then you start acting like a cog in a mob. And that's a very bad thing. But then if your group identity disappears completely, well, then you're left alone and bereft. And so those are bad alternatives, right? You're sort of damned if you do and damned if you don't. And it was very difficult to understand that there might be a third path between those two. I couldn't see the existence of anything, because people need belief systems in order to exist, right, to maintain psychological stability and to maintain sociological stability as well. But then if the beliefs get too rigid, then they turn into a raging totalitarian mob. So maybe you let that go because you don't want to play that game, but then you dissolve because you have no identity. That's not acceptable either. When I first laid that out that clearly, it was really hard on me because I couldn't see a third path to that. But then I started to realize, and this was a consequence of reading the sorts of things that we already talked about, but also of starting to understand the underlying structure of mythology and what the heroic path meant, essentially, and that meant adoption of supreme moral responsibility as an individual. Now, there's this idea in the New Testament, which is a really interesting idea. You know, it's one of these bottomless ideas, and I mean that literally. You could study it forever and never get to the bottom of it. And the idea is that Christ is the person who takes the sins of mankind on himself. And there's something redemptive about that. And that's actually a really dark idea, because what it means, as far as I can tell, what it means, at least what it means psychologically, is that when you read these terrible things, you have to understand that you're reading about you. If you don't understand that you're reading about you, then you don't actually understand the stories, you know, because you put yourself in the position where you're automatically the good person who would never do anything like that. And then these other people are, well, they're devils in some sense, right? And it's very easy for people to make that division. But it's a horrific realization when you think that that devil that you see outside is the same thing that's inside, and that you don't know until you're put in a situation like that what you might do. And then it's even worse, because if you look at the historical evidence, you know, it was ordinary people in some sense that produced the catastrophes of Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union and Maoist China. I mean, they might not have originated it, but they certainly had the option to say no at different steps along the way, and they didn't, you know. And these things do happen one horrible thing at a time. There's this great book called Ordinary Men, which describes the descent of a German police force from ordinary bourgeois middle-class men, essentially, just ordinary policemen, who actually were raised before the Hitler Youth. They weren't indoctrinated, you know, as young people. And they were brought into Poland to sort of mop up after the Germans had walked through. And it describes how they descended into the sort of people who would take naked women out, naked pregnant women out into the middle of fields and shoot them in the back of the head. And what's horrifying about the book is that the author, Browning, details the stages by which this occurred. And it's for example, the commander of this unit told the men that they were going to have to do terrible things, but that they could go home if they wanted to. And then you think, well, there's an out. But then if you really think about it, you think, well, they're a tightly knit quasi-military organization. And one of the natural thoughts under that circumstance would be, well, I'm not going to leave my comrades to do all the dirty work. That would just be a matter of cowardice. And so you can see that, you know, that there's an ethical requirement that would keep you there to begin with. And then they were...
Well, you're doing what you just said, which is taking the burden of this sinful activity on yourself. If you let everyone else do it, then you're not acting heroically.
Well, right. And so it was easy for the men to get entrapped into that. And then, you know, the requirements for their horrific action kept ramping up. And like each time they accepted the requirement of doing one horrific thing, the probability that they would accept the next requirement increased. And what is also really interesting about that book, Ordinary Men, is that it's not like these men didn't suffer. Like, they were suffering terribly. They were physically ill. They were vomiting. They were tearing themselves apart psychologically, you know, but they didn't quit. So that's a great book, because if you want to know how you can be enticed to walk down a terrible path, that's the book to read. And it's very frightening, because if you read it properly, then, you know, you have to read it again, as I said, as if you're one of the people to whom this is happening, not the victim, but the oppressor, you know. And I mean, you can also read it as the victim. That's fair enough. But it's ordinary people who participate in these things. And that's a very, very terrifying thought.
And there you go. There you go. That is a terrifying thought. That's how it happens. And so, again, returning to the Bible, this is our history. It's not a sermon. It's a history lesson. This is our foundation in America. And many people spoke to that. I'm not going to get into that right now, but you know, if you return to the Bible, you get the perspective that what Jordan Peterson just described is everyone's default mechanism. Basically, it's the flesh at war with the spirit, so to speak, as Paul puts it in Romans. And the devil knows that all you got to do is just goad this natural inclination a little bit, and guess what? All hell breaks loose. So God's divine intervention, you know, the restrainer, so to speak, is the only thing that prevents this. And when we are encouraged or inclined to distance ourselves from God and from the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden, you know, the floodgates of evil are opened and all hell breaks loose. And there are different passages, I've talked about some of those, that explain this, but this is where we are. I think it's pretty clear that I've asked the question of a lot of people. You know, I look at people who seem successful by the world's standards. I mean, you can go, I mean, people that I don't know personally, for example, people in the entertainment world, television, movies, etc. None of those people look happy, as near as I can tell. You know, the folks that seem to get things figured out, there are some comedians. That thing Tim Allen said a while back about, this is a Nazi German. Is this Nazi German? And then all of a sudden his TV show is canceled. Oops, you're not supposed to say that. Guys get stuff figured out and are courageous enough to say something. And there have been a number of those incidents where people are silenced. So I don't see anybody that just seems happy, well, joy-filled and at peace in the entertainment world or media in general. The mouthpieces seem to be being rode hard and put up wet on a daily basis. They don't seem at peace and joy-filled. And the people around me are a reflection of that, it seems. Have you noticed how weird Joe Biden looks lately? I mean, Barack Obama was a different animal. George Bush, Bush 2, kind of a different animal. These guys just seemed like they were perfectly content basking in the cult of personality and just sort of coasting in the role of puppet figurehead. And there are others, I would say, including Donald Trump, including Joe Biden, that you can see. Remember that joke Bill Hicks used to tell about, you know, you get elected president, or so you think, and then you're taken to a room in the White House no one knows about, And then there's this footage of the Kennedy assassination that's not the Zapruder footage, but from some other vantage point. You know, it's a smoky room and the lights are off and you're watching this film, and then the lights come back on and someone says, "Any questions?" And the guy, the newly elected person, says, no questions, just, you know, what are we doing first? And it seems like Donald Trump and Joe Biden definitely have that appearance, have that countenance. What's his name? You know, talking about Truman recently, you know, Truman not aware that the atomic bomb was under development. And, you know, as vice president, not aware of this project. Sort of reminds me of Biden. Who knows what exactly, you know, where the truth is in all of those stories. The point is, these people seem to have a strange countenance. Like, they didn't realize, they thought they had this tiger by the tail, and then they got in the catbird seat, or so they thought, and now suddenly they realize that, as the adage goes, you know, they got the dog by the ears. Now what do I do? Can't let go. Can't hold on. Bad deal. So it's just an interesting thing, I think. And I think that the people that I know seem to reflect that countenance generally. I don't see anybody who just seems like, man, you know what? It's heaven on earth. Things are great. Life is great. It's fantastic. I think we're in the midst of all of the lessons that we were taught that we should have learned and didn't. I think our chickens are coming home to roost. I mentioned Leviticus 26 last week. Maybe I'll talk about that. Some reminders. It's interesting when you read it, you know. God says don't do these things. He starts with idols. You shall not make for yourselves idols. My goodness. What happened in America in the Bernaysian era? Taps into Uncle Sigmund Freud's, you know, deep, dark, sinister agenda to tap into the latent desires that people don't even realize, these unconscious motivations that drive behavior that people don't even realize. You can see it if you step back and just look objectively and say, sure, I'm saying this or I'm saying that, but this is what I'm doing, and so obviously there's something that's driving this behavior. Uncle Sigmund was more honest about that, and nephew Edward Bernays helped Madison Avenue, the United States government and military and so forth, wire that to the will to pleasure and marketing. Why are those concepts together? And so the first thing that we have is a bunch of idols. You need this, you need that, you need that. Need, suddenly, you know, want was, the word want was, became synonymous with need. And what is that if it's not idolatry? You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. That's verse 1 in Leviticus 26. The laws and blessings concerning obedience. But what if you don't? What if you don't observe these things? What happens? Oh, maybe we'll talk about that for a minute and see if it sounds like America these days. Then we'll go back to the other stuff from last Friday's broadcast. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. www.thepublicpulse.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back.
I don't care if it hurts.
And we've played that clip, Jordan Peterson, how a totalitarian state is actually formed. And that was back in 2018. And that clip from Jordan Peterson's appearance on Jocko Willink's podcast was posted. And, you know, people have been sounding the alarm. Well, before, obviously, and ever since. The description reads, it's easy to believe that a totalitarian state is made up of innocent individuals under the thumb of an evil tyrant. However, tyranny exists across all levels, like he said, a holographic structure. Tyranny exists across all levels of a totalitarian state, in psychology, in the family, and in the mid-level. And I read the post from Facebook in one of these COVID vaccine victims and families groups. This person has a family member who her uncle passed away, and her family didn't reach out. She says, I just realized in the past couple of days since my uncle died quite how much they have turned us into social pariahs. They have polarized people, even our own families. I have all these emotions, grief, sadness, anger, hurt, even guilt. I can't express I can't express them to anyone. Nobody wants to listen. You want to express those to someone that you know, someone that you know, that can relate. And obviously, I think many people can relate to these sentiments and not being able to commiserate with family and loved ones. And it's just a horrifying thing, you know? As the leadership goes, so goes the organization. And Jordan Peterson says, you know, these people may not have originated the thing, but all of a sudden the totalitarian state is comprised of ordinary men or ordinary people. You know, he talks about Christopher Browning's Ordinary Men. And, you know, that is an illustration of the concept. And so as the leadership goes, so goes the organization. You know, Hayek talks about that in The Road to Serfdom, chapter 10 in particular, why the worst get on top and what happens as a result. And the planners, you know, and the opportunism and the hubris that go along with it. Joe Biden, creepy sleepy Joe, is an opportunist par excellence, no question. You know, that Joe, sleepy creepy Joe, never missed an opportunity to sniff someone's hair or whatever. But I think even Joe has limits. You know, he is an opportunist. He has always said and basically done whatever. And sure, you know, he has his own little petty larceny going on, I would say. Chris, you're talking about millions, even billions of dollars. Yeah, but I think what Joe Biden has allowed his celebrity, if you will, and power and influence to garner for him and his family, I think that's petty larceny compared to the rest of what's going on. And so I wonder, is Mamala creepy sleepy Joe's sword of Damocles? Is Mamala hanging over his head? You know, one false move, Joe, Mamala can't wait to be president. You know, she wants to be POTUS. One false move and she's POTUS. And a more opportunistic person, I don't think there ever was than her. I think she's proven that she will do anything. You know, there are no lines or boundaries. I don't think she has the same. At least Joe has somewhere in him. He has some roots. He has some, you know, maybe some of that Catholic tradition and stuff somewhere in him. Mamala doesn't have any of that, near as I can tell. And so it does not bode well for America. As the leadership goes, so goes the organization. And the leadership has us running amok. Reminders from Leviticus 26, and then moving back to this other stuff. Blessings of obedience is kind of how it's couched generally. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, verse 3, then God says, I shall give you rains in their season so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. Who doesn't want that? Eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land. Do we want peace? I think some people have been socially engineered not to want peace. And that sounds strange, but I think it's true. I think you can see it in the way that people behave. They say they want peace. And then, you know, of course, that correlates to certain biblical passages. And without getting off on a tangent on that, you know, Jeremiah 6:14, peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. And, you know, again, in 1 Thessalonians 5, that kind of thing. I think we've been engineered to say we want it, but, you know, we're entertaining these competing thoughts. This is just the normal state in America now. This dialectical process where you're colliding opposites or, you know, shades of gray now. Constantly. And so to say, well, I want peace, while you're actively going about fighting, is not unusual in America. That doesn't seem strange. And so again, taking that concept to the extreme, you know, just to its critical end, again, I would go to the narcissistic personality disorder Wikipedia entry and that line that says at the end of the section on signs and symptoms, DSM-5 indicates that in order to qualify as symptomatic of interpersonality disorder here, the person's manifested personality traits must substantially differ from societal norms. So if the societal norm is the insanity of things like saying peace and yet fighting, actively pursuing conflict, then does the person who doesn't do that or engage in that get construed as having some personality disorder? Oh, you're not. And you can see it coming in the posts in these groups, for example, these COVID-19 vaccine victims and families groups. People saying they're being treated like pariahs. This one person posts, everybody knows my views, and over the past year, I've slowly turned into the family leper. Is this person, even though everyone knows... And this person says, you know, hospital guarantees it weren't the jab, and his wife and kids, in other words, her aunt and cousins, are NHS workers who are clinging to that belief because they can't handle the alternative, or shall we say the truth? So to prevent themselves from having to face the truth and reality, the possibility that, you know, we all might have blood on our hands here. Instead, they'll ostracize this person. Can we see where this might be headed? And it's gaining momentum. So God says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land, not even the sword of Damocles. Ha ha. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. You will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Can you imagine? Oh, we got to get rid of this stuff. There's more coming in. So bountiful. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you would not be their slaves. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. Because you were hunched over as slaves. You were a beast of burden. We'll get to that in a minute, as Jordan Peterson points out. You were a beast of burden. That's why you're hunched over with the yoke on your neck. I broke the bars of your yoke, God says, and made you walk erect. But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all of these commandments, verse 14, Leviticus 26, if instead you reject my statutes and your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments and so break my covenant. But Chris, this is Old Testament stuff. Are you being a legalist now? I mean, as you look at the Bible, no. Like Paul said, all things are lawful. You know, if you've died with Christ, then all you've died to the law. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Not all things edify. And so, again, the Holy Spirit is the one that is sort of the interpreter and the guide in those things. So when it comes to statutes, ordinances, commandments, just leave it to the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. And you know, Jesus boiled the whole law down to a couple, and you could say really just one. Second is like unto it. So, if we don't, then what? He says, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you. What happens? He says, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments and so break my covenant. Tell me if this doesn't sound like America today. The description that follows. I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror. Last year and even into this year seems like a sudden terror. Consumption and fever that shall waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also you shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemy shall eat it up. Monsanto Terminator seeds, maybe. I will set my face against you so that you shall be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when no one is pursuing you. Gosh, that's interesting. Why would you flee when no one is pursuing you? If also after these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make your skyline iron and your earth like bronze, which reminds me of geoengineering or stratospheric aerosol injection and, you know, Roundup in the soil. Reminds me of those things. Your strength shall be spent uselessly for the land, for your land shall not yield its produce, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. I've noticed that there are a lot of trees that are drying up and they're breaking off in the Pacific Northwest in particular anyway. That seems a strange phenomenon. I don't remember noticing that to the degree that I've noticed it in the last several years. If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you seven times according to your sins. And it's interesting also, you know, I've mentioned Hebrews 12, which comes after Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. After that, you know, you have passages like, you know, you read that Jesus learned obedience through his sufferings and the discipline of Hebrews 12. To draw people back, you know, a father disciplines the son in whom he is well pleased. And this should draw us closer. And it seems like a paradoxical thing. But, you know, you can see how it makes sense when you, I think when you experience it, certainly. And so he's, you know, appealing. Hey, are you going to persist in this or... or are you going to do the smart thing? If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you seven times according to your sins. I will let loose among you the beasts of the field which shall bereave you of your children and destroy your cattle and reduce your number so that your roads lie deserted. Have you noticed the roads lie deserted these days? I am noticing that more and more. And if by these things you are not turned to me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with hostility against you. And I, even I, will strike you seven times for your sins. What specifically, though? I will also bring upon you a sword, which will execute vengeance for the covenant. And when you gather together into your cities, I will send pestilence among you, so that you shall be delivered into enemy hands. Does that sound like what's happened over the last year? Kind of does to me. There's more. I'll finish this in the next segment and we'll move on. Stick around right after the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This is Tuesday, April 20th, 2021. concluding the stuff, Leviticus 26. It sounds like America today, and we were, I mean, shouldn't be surprising when we were given a republic, if we can keep it. It was based on what I would say the foundational premise from the Bible that we would sort of govern ourselves and occupy till he comes, so to speak. And that was the only possible way that we could keep the republic. Guys like John Adams said, you know, without the governing restraints and the sort of self-restraint of virtue, morality, and religion, then avarice, ambition, etc., would go through our constitution like a whale goes through a net. Just like it's not even there. Seems like the administrative putsch has effectively done that. Nah, you know, we'll keep all this stuff in name only, and we'll keep it there for window dressing to keep people distracted. So occasionally they can say, wait, I don't understand. Shall not be infringed seems like really clear and plain, straightforward language. What are we doing here? So we'll keep this just to, you know, keep them guessing a little bit. Leviticus 26, it sounds like America. What do you mean? You will be delivered into the hands of your enemy. Okay, so that you shall be delivered into enemy hands. Do we feel like we've been delivered into enemy hands? When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and they will bring back your bread in rationed amounts so that you will eat and not be satisfied. Well, I mean, first of all, that's racist and misogynistic, and, you know, that's just... that's chauvinistic. I can't believe that. Why are the women baking the bread? When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and they will bring back your bread in rationed amounts so that you will eat and not be satisfied. And that's a whole different conversation. Maybe in America these days, I mean, you look at these guys wearing skinny jeans and stuff. Maybe they should be baking bread. I don't know. But, you know, the point is, well, and how many folks even remember how to make bread anyway? It used to be, that was a normal thing. It was, I mean, do you remember the days, because I do, when mom would make a feast for 5 or 6, 7 or 8 kids? And that was not a big deal. It was just part of what mom did. It's amazing. And these days, does anybody even know how to make bread anymore or make any of these other things? How do you do that? Why would we do that? We have the grocery store. We have the little corner. You know, we have Uber Eats delivery in these. Why would we make anything anymore? Yeah. I don't know. Show me where a man gets his corn pone and I'll tell you what his opinions is. You're free to do exactly what you're told, right? Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.